Hilary and I were sitting in the cafe across the road here yesterday, and a lady came to us, bright and cheerful, bubbly, and said, would we sign the petition against the axing of the trees in Poynton Pool? So we said, well, we've signed it already. And then I said to her, why don't you put it in all the churches? I'm sure most of them will sign. So she said, well, I don't really know people. So I said, well, you know two now, because we're Methodists. And she said, you know, I usually pray before I come out that God will put me in the path of the right people. And I haven't prayed that today, but look what he's done. So here's the petition. Brian will be going round with it. Those of you who signed it already, if you've just put your postcode, it needs your house number as well, please. Otherwise, it won't count. So if you grab it back. Thank you. We're going to do something a bit different. We're going to start off with, I suppose you'd call a song, which very much fits about the trees in Poynton Pool. Sure, we all know it. Sing it prayerfully, okay? I see trees of green, red roses too. Shall we sing it again?
Thank you.
how apt it is to have those two banners by the side of those pictures. We're not going to dwell on that today. That's coming next week with Richard. We want to celebrate God's wonderful world. So think of a time when you saw that the world is beautiful. Think of a sunset over the hills, or sunrise over a sleeping city. Think of a river cascading over the rocks, or moonlight over a dark sea. Think of light flashing on a puddle, or geraniums growing in a window box. Think of a time when you saw that the world is beautiful, and give thanks. Think of a time when you found pleasure in just being alive. Think of running in the wind, or planting a garden. Think of dancing till dawn, or climbing a mountain. Most of us have done that in the past. Think of the birth of a child, or of holding someone you love. Think of a time when you found pleasure in just being alive, and give thanks. Think of a time when your spirit was refreshed. Think of a song that moved you to tears, or a prayer that moved you to action. Think of laughter shared with friends, or the care of your family. Think of a stranger who made you feel welcome, or of someone who said, "I love you." Think of a time when your spirit was refreshed, and give thanks. Think of a time when you were in despair, or being ashamed because you've hurt someone. Think of being worn out with anxiety or worry. Then think of the suffering, forgiving, changing love of Jesus, and give thanks. My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love.
Praise the wonders.
I want to take some of you on a trip down memory lane, and some of you to pastures new. I'm going back about 20 years. I'm at Easter People in Llandudno, and I went to a seminar one afternoon and was asked to finish the sentence, "The church is, or the church is like." We're in a circle, and I'm the last one to be asked. And I'm thinking, oh goodness me, all the obvious answers have gone, including some that I didn't agree with. The church is a well-oiled machinery. The church is a fellowship of believers. That's more like it. And I prayed. You know, you send arrow prayers up. Can you remember what I said? Sure you can, some of you. The church is like, there's a big clue down here. No. 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 Thank you, but you knew. The church is like a maypole. There's a lady at Dalston Lane, or there used to be, sadly she's died now, who every time I went used to say to me, "I still think about your maypole and how true it is." So I'm really disappointed you can't remember. However, the person leading the seminar looked at me. Everybody else went, the person who was leading it said, "Go home and think about it and work out why God is telling you to say that. And I think you will be very blessed." And I was. So, how can a maypole be likened to the church? Well, let's start with the obvious. A maypole is made in the centre of a tree trunk. We can surely say the Christian church, the Christian faith, largely revolves around a certain tree and the death and the resurrection of the man crucified on it. Yes? I think so. Absolutely and utterly central to our faith. What did Ros say to us last week? Over and over again, what did she say? Look at the cross, look at the cross, look at the cross. She'd been for an eye test. But how right, look at the cross. To be of any use, the maypole has to be firmly rooted into the ground. One that wobbles all over the place will cause just a few problems, yes? Our church, and as we are the church, our faith has to be firmly rooted. Remember what Jesus said.
"Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash."
But how do we build a solid faith? Again, Ros had the answer last week. She was pinching my sermon. Worship, Bible reading, studying it, working it out. House groups where you can share your doubts and your sorrows and work out what the Bible is saying. Prayer. leading into action. The stability of our faith firmly depends on us, each one of us. It's in our own hands. And I hasten to say the responsibility for the future of this church is in our hands. The maypole has ribbons attached to the top. Let's now mix analogies. What did Jesus say?
I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me.
Jesus was so good, wasn't he? Looking out into his environment and finding something to say that related to faith. Just maybe, if he'd been living here 200 years ago when maypoles were so popular, he would have said, let's read it together in red, I am the maypole. You are the ribbons, remain attached. Remain attached, even if times are hard. The ribbons are multicoloured. They represent you and me. Remain attached. There was a man who stopped going to church. He felt he was losing his faith. So he went to see a wise old friend who listened to him and then, looking at a coal fire, pulled a piece of coal, red hot, and put it on the hearth. And it very soon went black. When it had gone black, he picked it up again and put it back. Message received, without him ever saying a word. Remain attached. The ribbons are multicoloured. They represent you and me. We are all very, very different. God has given us all different gifts and graces. But to use them, we first have to grasp our ribbon, leave fear behind and extend it to its full length. And then we have to dance. 20 years ago or so, we made a maypole in here. I can't remember quite how we did it. I suspect Nadia's husband had something to do with it. I'm sure he did. And I used these ribbons. They were much longer then. We've since cut them up and used them for other things. But on the Sunday morning, as I was attaching the ribbons, I discovered the purple one was broken. You see, it's not as long. Here's the other end. Crumbs, I thought, what am I going to do now? So I ran for a stapler and stapled them together, joined them again, and thought, well, nobody will notice. But thinking of that now, it speaks to me. I'm sure there are times when we've all felt utterly broken, for whatever reason, bereavement. We've lost some key people here. We've lost Helen, Mart, Ken, Marie, and others. Some people have got money worries and they're broken by that. Or what about illness? But for me, that's when these words ring so true. Words from Isaiah.
Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Do not be afraid, for I am with you.
Those words have so often brought me just an assurance of God's presence. Times when he's emotionally and spiritually strengthened me, and in my case made me so determined to walk again. Where do you turn when times are hard, when you feel broken? Which verses do you turn to? But doesn't the actual dance say this too? Sometimes we have to go underneath the next ribbon. Sometimes we have to go over the top of it. What does that suggest? Sometimes our own needs have to take precedence. Sometimes the needs of others. Sometimes we help others, sometimes they help us. We are interdependent. We are a caring community. Not just a holy huddle who gathers here on a Sunday. We look out for one another. If we are in time to the music, a beautiful pattern will emerge. But if one person goes too quickly, or one too slowly, or if anybody just stops, that's a recipe for disaster. And we end up in a tangle. We must be in time to the music. So I ask you, who calls the tune? Who calls the tune? If we are really, really listening, I suggest it's God who calls the tune. Maybe through pictures, through ideas, through people speaking out, through others. Two examples, more recent. 5 years ago, or thereabouts, this lady, Villia, who I will never ever forget, inspired us to raise money to buy hurricane-proof houses for Haiti. How did she do it? She was on a Christian Aid film all about Haiti, but at the end, she prayed. She prayed for her own country, and then she turned her thoughts to us. She prayed for us, that we would help them, that we would be moved to do something. I'm sitting up there on the computer, and I thought to myself, I wonder if I could do anything at the Christmas fair that we were going to organise 6 months later. To my amazement, John Lunt, sitting next to me, got his phone out and started tapping in. And I thought, what on earth is he doing? Is he so bored? How can he be? So at the end, I said to him, why did you get your phone out? And he said, I was looking up to see how much it would cost to buy a hurricane-proof house for Haiti. And the answer is £7,500. Two other people down here, David Garrett and Stuart, were also having the same conversation. What could we do? It all came together in that corner over there at the prayer group when John and I told people what had happened. What a fabulous idea, people said. Let's do it. And we were off. We had to take it to church council first. Everybody agreed. And it was John at the time. John said, okay, Mandy's got three people who'll help her. Who else will? Deadly hush. And John said, so you all agree, but nobody will help. And then gradually, hands started to go up in the silence. Made you think. And we did raise enough money to buy two houses. We had a time limit on it. We had to finish by the Easter when Ros came. I'll never ever forget that final concert the day before we had our final service about it, church anniversary. The sense of togetherness in that room was so, so powerful. I don't think I'd ever experienced it before, and maybe since, but maybe I have. Wouldn't it be great if we could get that sense of community back again and we all work together? But a second example, more recent. Think of Ros's words. Look at the cross. I think I'm right, although I wasn't here at the time. When the church first opened, the main aisle ran that way. Am I right? Yes? And look what's there. That's what you were facing, a huge cross. I don't think you'd been going many years before you turned it round. And we face this way. Still a cross, but it's much, much smaller. Does that mean it's less important now? I don't think so. Because look, what do you see when you just look at that cross? Just wood and pipes. What do you see when you look across here? Trees of green, blossom sometimes, autumn colours, the odd squirrel. Surely the windows make us look outwards. And what has God inspired us to do through Richard? To work for an eco award. You know, if we as Christians don't make a stand, who in God's name will? It's as simple as that. Who in God's name will? We need to get the message that we've received out there. We got our silver award and we celebrated with a very, very informal concert on a Saturday afternoon, where we invited all the groups that meet here to join us, and the band played, and the choir sang. And there was that sense of togetherness again. I don't know whether other people felt that, but it was there. Together. But not just together in a holy huddle, together again, looking out, reaching out. But now there's a new voice, I believe, calling the tune. And we heard it loud and clear at the general church meeting. David Garrett. Not normally, I would say, a leader apart from the music. You don't often hear David's voice, but he was asking us to think about revival. And he firmly believes that revival begins with prayer. Well, he wasn't just all talk. We got action too. He started a second prayer group that meets in room 4 across there on a Wednesday evening at 7:30, and it's also Zoomed. Tuesday. Tuesday evening. Get it right, Mandy. We also have a prayer group that used to meet in here, but we won't anymore. We're going to go into room 4 because slowly but surely, we're turning room 4 into a prayer room. Don't go out through the main doors today. Go out that way and look what we've already done in there. It's not finished by any means, but we're off. We're off, and we want you to join us. You know, those two prayer groups are very different. Tuesday's prayer group is very much led by David. He does an awful lot of preparation and he leads the prayers. Wednesday's group in the morning, we usually go, well, I ask people, what do you want to pray about? What's bothering you now? Or how do we rejoice? Whatever. And then we go round and each person prays in turn if they want to. There's no compulsion to pray, only if they want to. You know, the best advice I was ever given about prayer was just talk. You don't need fancy words, you don't need long words. Just talk. Jesus had a lot to say about prayer.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Will you join one of those prayer groups? Or better still, maybe somebody is sitting there thinking, I could start another one, maybe in an afternoon, maybe in my own home. It doesn't have to be here. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Do we believe in prayer? Do we? Absolutely. I'm getting on the front. I do. From today, we're down to 2 ministers in this circuit. Helen has moved on to Truro to work in a Methodist school. The future looks tricky, shall we say. Does it not? But those words leapt out at me from a book that I was reading. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I should do. And with the help of God, I will do to the very best of my ability. Let's start this new year prayerfully with as much enthusiasm and commitment as we can. Let's put God squarely in the centre. Yes? Let's plant the maypole in solid ground, and that's down to each one of us. Let's pick up our ribbon, acknowledge our gift, and then dance to God's tune. Every single person here can pray. It's what David's asking us to do. Think about it. Let's dance to God's tune. It's pretty obvious he's got up. There's only one song we could possibly sing after this. Yeah? Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your Spirit. Oh, yes. Let's pray. Firstly, let's pray for those who are now dancing to a new tune. Let's pray for Helen and her family as they move to Truro. We pray that you will continue to inspire Helen, as you did when she worked with us. We pray for her family, her girls, as they begin life at university. Be with them. And so we pray for all those who are starting school, maybe nursery, primary school, those moving to secondary school, university, those starting work. Give them your courage. Assure them of your, that you are with them. And we pray for Graham and for Ross and the new churches in the circuit that they will now care for. Help us, Lord, to support them in whatever way we can. And we pray for those who are forced through circumstances largely beyond their control to dance to a very different tune. those whose lives are threatened by war, we think again of the Ukraine, and we pray that you will raise up for yourself new peacemakers. We pray for those who, as a result of changes to the environment, for which we are partly responsible, who have to live with famine, fire, flood. Help us, Lord, to clearly think just what we are doing and to change. To change how we travel, how we heat our homes, what food we eat. Increase in us an awareness of the harm that we are doing. And we pray for those who go out, some in our name, to be in other countries where famine is rife. Pray that you will strengthen them. We pray for any who have lost a loved one and feel broken. And we name them in our hearts now. Let's again pray for the families of the children killed in the Countess of Chester Hospital, a place where they should have been safe. Let's pray for the staff who still work there, for those who endured that trial at close quarters, for Lucy's parents and friends, who find this so hard to believe and to understand, and for Lucy herself, that she will find the help she so obviously desperately needs. Father, we pray for your healing power for all those caught up in this tragedy. And we pray for this, our church. We pray that God will be at the centre. That each one of us will acknowledge the roles we are called to do. We pray for David as he speaks out. Give us ears that listen and feet that move to his tune. And so, Lord, we end with the prayer that David has written. Heavenly Father, we pray for everyone here at Poynton Methodist Church as the church seeks revival. We ask for your guidance, that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and discernment. Help us to piece together the different parts of a revival process into something meaningful, which will be part of our first steps, as we aim to advance your kingdom here in Poynton. Holy Spirit, we ask that you draw us together as a church, as you have done in the past. Give us hearts full of love for each other. Grant us healing where it's needed, and joyful hearts as we move closer to Jesus. We pray that in your will and good timing, that the right people will fill the various vacant roles in our church life. Holy Spirit, we ask for your great power to rest on us so that we can be faithful in all we do, witnessing to all who would hear us for your kingdom's sake. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And so we say together, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I am,
I should do.
With the help of God, I will do. To the very best of my ability. Amen. We're going to end with a familiar hymn, but we've changed the words, or at least we've tried to. The hymn is, Let us build a house where love may dwell. Margaret used her talents and has changed the first verse so that we concentrate on prayer. Richard has written the second verse so that we concentrate on the environment. The third verse is an original verse. And the fourth verse, Chris and I have tried to change to make it more relevant to what we're trying to say. That last verse, I think, needs a bit more work on it. We're not as talented as Margaret and Richard, but we tried. We're very trying. So, let us build a house where God may dwell.
Thank you.
So let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Girls, did you do anything with those pictures? Please just sit down a moment. Right. Half and half. In the prayer room, let's call it that now, it needs a prayer room written outside it. If anybody's good at doing signs, it's what it needs. You'll see the pictures from the first song on the wall. But Richard, I'm sure we're going to be singing some next week, are we? Richard has written some new hymns about. Will we be singing some? So we're going to put some of them on the wall too. Okay? Go and have a look. You'll find an angel in there already. Not me. We went to see Peter and Jean Bedford on Wednesday. Those of you who remember, he was the minister at Hazel Grove. He was the second minister I work with. Very fond of them. And they took us to Malham. And they wanted to show us the Methodist church there. It's tiny, really tiny. But on the floor, probably about a third of the space in here, they have painted, or an artist has painted, some of the scenery around Malham. You have a waterfall. You have a climb up the hill to the top, the plateau that's at Malham, and the escarpment. And in the centre of the picture is the church. If ever you go to Malham, go and have a look. It's fantastic. And the idea is that you can walk round these. You can walk round the countryside and see them. And if you can't manage that, you can walk round the pictures and go on a prayer walk. It's brilliant. And then in a corner, there was a table with angels, knitted angels like we've done. And it invited us all to take one. But we had to write down where we were going to put it. And I had a look where everyone else's was going. They've gone to Australia. Amazing where they've gone. So we have one, blessing our new prayer room. Please go and have a look. Thank you. And don't forget the